Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I have no idea what happened in the world today at all. All I know is what happened in Concord today.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at. I got here about 10 minutes ago, I think, and I sat down and I was like, okay, Bonnie's not here, Matt's not here, Ian's not here. I've got to find some sort of show prep to just talk about. Which is okay for one segment, but after...
Door's opening. I think Bonnie just walked in, so we might be in totally good shape right now.
Yeah. After one segment of that, though, it just gets so monotonous hearing yourself speak that it starts getting rougher and rougher as time goes on. But as you mentioned, we have been in Concord all day at a bill hearing. I only attended one. Did you go to more than one today?
I went to two.
You went to the midwife one as well?
Yeah, I went to the midwifery one, and I went to the secession one. Hey, Bon.
How did the midwifery one go?
It went great, actually. A lot of people got schooled.
Okay, that's good. And I like to see that happen.
The midwives, the one thing you find out when I've had a strange life. I have a lot of background with midwifery. You wouldn't think that's something, average dude would have a background in, but I do. And I'll tell you, when you met a whole bunch of them, they are some of the most dedicated, well-educated, continuing to be well-educated people, absolutely devoted to their craft people that you will ever meet.
This bill, whether it passes or not, it will create this midwifery council where two out of three of the people on the council are registered physicians with the state and not midwives.
Right.
You would think it would be the other way around.
And I was trying to think, conspiracy minded Matt goes right into action. It looks like the medical industrial complex is trying to control more stuff. And it turns out that the party that actually wrote the legislation was the New Hampshire Office of Licensing and Registration or whatever.
So they just want midwives to register.
They want them to be, licensed and all that, which they already, the thing is, Massachusetts actually has better midwifery laws because they don't have to be licensed. You can be a common, I can't remember what they call them, an unlicensed, regular practitioner of midwifery. You don't have to have a license for that in Massachusetts.
That's curious for Massachusetts.
It is crazy. Actually, it's so backwards. In New Hampshire, that's the way it should be. We can't tell the New Hampshire midwives this because a lot of them are hardcore statists, and they think, well, I am a duly licensed, blah, blah, blah.
I jumped through all of these hoops, so everyone else should have to jump through them. It's same old song and dance.
They see it as a club.
There was just one person who was cheering on the midwifery bill.
Yeah, she turns out to be the person that wrote it. From what I can tell, she's an attorney that works for the state, and the reason she wants to rope all these midwives under this yoke is because the state is at risk of getting sued by the Federal Trade Commission.
Ooh, curveball. Why is the FTC going to sue the state of New Hampshire?
Because they see this guild, as we just called it.
Guild sounds like a fair characterization of it.
Basically what it is. But remember, they're forced to be a guild if they want to exist, because this is the agreement they made with the state back in like 1990. This is why they forced them to get licenses, and they forced them to do all this stuff, and now they kind of forced them into this guild. But now what that guild looks like to the feds, to the Federal Trade Commission, is a monopoly.
Oh, dear Lord.
So the Federal Trade Commission could go after the state for not regulating these people correctly according to the antitrust laws.
Why would regulating it make it not a monopoly?
A state-sanctioned council that would license and regulate it.
Right.
Instead of having a private organization recognized by the state to do it, it's going to be actually part
of
the state.
A worse monopoly.
So the other bill we went to today was the New Hampshire Independence Bill. And, man, that was eye-opening. That one guy who got to speak for 27 minutes, man, I have never
Guy Brody Deshays that we went over his crap last night, me, Nikki, and Ian did.
Yeah, Republican.
Mm. Yeah, he's so full of it, dude.
He's lying. Like, he can't possibly believe what he's saying.
I think he does. I think he does. I don't know.
Can't read the Constitution and believe what he believes. Just can't unless you're stupid. And he doesn't seem stupid. I think he's evil.
Well, I think he's very full of himself.
You could tell that by his eyebrow looks.
Yeah, big time. So I threw him a couple glances.
Me too.
I have harder glance than he does. I'm harder than he is. So, but I one thing I noticed about what he said was he consulted constitutional scholars everywhere, even internationally. I'm like, why are you asking anybody international about American jurisprudence?
That's funny. I didn't catch that.
Why would you ask any constitutional scholars? Their opinions are useless because
they are the
Constitution. The New Hampshire Constitution is relevant in this particular scenario because we're talking about amending the New Hampshire Constitution. But the U.S. Constitution has nothing to do with this. It was written more than 200 years ago by people who are dead. The very notion that these people wrote down this thing and that's going to bind their descendants for all eternity. There is no tyranny more insolent. If you're dealing with a domestic abuse victim, you never tell her to just stay in the abusive relationship because she's fearful that the abuse will escalate or that the person will hunt her down and kill her. And when you get to the end of the day, that's what people are arguing about the United States government. It's like, hey, we can't break up with the United States government. They told us we're useless without them. No one will love us like they love us.
It's gaslighting.
Yeah, it's 100% gaslighting. And if we dare leave them, and one of the representatives even made this argument, this was settled during the Civil War. Oh, so might as
right. Brody Deshaies.
Yes. I'm never going to remember his name. But
Brody. His name is Brody.
Yes. I said that yesterday to Nikki. I was like, he just looks like a Brody.
And you know, the kid he's 23 years old. He's 23. He's 23.
Well, he appears to be older than that. So good on him for presenting himself as, you know, someone who's more knowledgeable than he probably is.
Yeah. So my problem with him is he comes off to me like a future lawyer or some other disgusting animal of the.
Exactly. He wants to be part of the federal system, yeah. Probably. So that's why he has to lie and cheat his way into us not seceding.
Yeah. And since he's political, he's probably the type of person that is going to have grander aspirations. You know, he's egotistical.
I like how the one representative got up there and said, well, I intend to vote no on this. And then he pointed out that he contradicted the previous guy, the Brody Deshaies guy. He said, well, we do actually have one international airport already in Manchester, and we have another airport here in Cocker that could very easily be upgraded into an international airport.
Yeah, and he was working under the auspices of some wacko bird idea that if we secede from the Union, we can no longer go use the Boston airport anymore. I mean, okay, so if I live in Spain and I want to go across the border to use an airport in France, they're not going to let me because I'm from Spain. Or if I live in Liechtenstein and I want to go across the border to use a Belgian airport or whatever they border, they're not going to let me? That's dumb.
That's the abusive world these people live in, though, where if we dare declare our independence, then the United States will be like, all right, well, we're closing all of our borders to you. You can't travel into any United States territory.
We're cutting you off.
Yeah, people go down to Mexico from Texas all the time and get, you know, dentist work.
Yes, but Mexico never seceded from the United States.
No,
their argument is that in order to punish us, the United States government would close our borders, they'd blockade the ports, they'd shoot down our aircraft or whatever. And as Matt Santanastasso pointed out, we live in a globalized world now. None of that stuff would take place.
I've seen quite a few libertarians. Well, I don't know if they're libertarians, but they're on my friends list, and I picked most of them up during the Ron Paul 2008-2012 campaigns, I think. So I just assume they're liberty-leaning type people. And a lot of them are like conspiracy theory-ish about Bitcoin. Like, it's the one world currency.
I was arguing with someone about that today.
Did you? If that's what you think, then you don't understand Bitcoin at all, and to say nothing of the thousand other cryptocurrencies that are out there. They don't really get it. If you have ever read Satoshi's white paper, there is no way. This is actually the exact opposite of that. And I think it's important for people to distinguish cryptocurrency from digital currency. Cryptocurrency might be digital, but this is not something that a government ever put out because it's they would never put out anything that's going to protect anybody's privacy. And encryption is for the purpose of protecting privacy. So the government very well may put out a digital currency someday, but I guarantee you it will not be a cryptocurrency.
And it probably won't be open source like Bitcoin, so that way people can all audit it every single day constantly.
One of the things that we did for this, the whole reason the New Hampshire Independence Bill got started in the first place, was Dave Ridley called one night, and he wanted to organize something like this, but he was concerned because a bill hearing in New Hampshire cost about $2,000 in total, and he didn't want the American tax or the New Hampshire taxpayer to have to pay for that. So Ian and I went, okay, well, we'll put up $1,000. Let's get this thing going. So it finally happened. I was there today giving out a $5 back to anyone who walked through the doors. Didn't ask them. I don't care what your opinion on the bill here is. I don't care if you're just here to watch.
Yeah, I wasn't going to take it until I saw it was a fiver, and I'm like, Aria.
Yeah.
Give me. Yeah, whatever.
I don't care if you're for the bill, against the bill. I don't care if you're one of the representatives. I don't care if you're a bailiff. I don't care. You're here. You're a taxpayer, presumably. Here's a $5. And it is about $20 in gold. But I did have people tell me, no, thank you.
I saw that happen to you, and you said, it's free. Free like, gold.
Yeah. You
idiots.
I expected this problem not to be as severe, and it wasn't as severe at the, you know, this place was packed with libertarians. The committee chairman asked the question of how many people are free staters, and probably 60% of the people in their room raised their hands.
I thought it was more than that. I wanted him to say, okay, well, how many aren't? Because I couldn't see through the forest of arms that went up.
There were libertarians there. This was coming. China is already beginning to launch their own central bank digital currency. And when you look at it realistically, the United States dollar already is a central bank digital currency.
Basically.
Yep, like 97% of the total U.S. money supply exists only digitally.
In zeros and ones, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know why the USD doesn't already qualify, but what they want to do is they want to cut out Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and all of these other banks, and you'll just have one account with the Federal Reserve Bank or whatever, and they'll control all of your money. You can transfer it to another account owner within the Federal Reserve Bank. I don't think the government's equipped to deal with this, and it's going to make Wells Fargo, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase very, very unhappy.
Well, it actually says the opposite in here. It says the opposite of how they want to. It says that the law does not allow them to hold accounts for average individuals. It would have to be an institutional-only kind of thing, if ever. The Fed is typically just bank to bank. It's interesting because this is pretty much breaking news. This is from 3:49 p.m. today. This article was put out by the Washington Post.
Makes sense. So the Fed.
New York Times. New York Times.
So the Fed wouldn't actually be able to have accounts from individuals. They would still require Wells Fargo and all of these other banks to have accounts on those individuals' behalf.
Right. Basically. In free market capitalism, like true free market capitalism, trade between people for whatever they want, for whatever cost they can agree on, literally is the match in the darkness that defeats communism. It literally is the match. You light a match in a dark room, you just destroyed dark.
And we saw that in North Korea and in China as well, where North Korea, they clamped down on their black markets. And the result of that was that people started starving.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, all right, and to this day, they continue to turn a blind eye to black markets within North Korea.
Yeah, they adhere to socialism like crazy. And they don't realize that, you know, communism in all its degrees, whether it's just mild socialism all the way up to full-blown dictatorial communism, it is absolutely awful. And it just gets worse. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
But no matter how many times it fails, we still end up with people like Sarah from New Mexico who say, well, that wasn't real communism.
Right.
That's because Sarah wants everybody to do everything else for her.
But it's not just Sarah. There's a ton of people who say, well, the Soviet Union wasn't real communism. North Korea isn't real communism. China isn't real communism.
It's because people don't like to believe that they've been duped.
I did happen to catch a glimpse of a friend of the show, Nobody Today, as I was at the bill hearing in Concord.
Good to see him.
And he's not currently allowed to be on the show or anything like that. So Bonnie has been going through old episodes with him and old videos that he did and stuff like that and compiling some of his quotes, especially when he was running for governor, because he is named Nobody. I know him as Rich Paul, and I call him Rich Paul all the time, but that's totally fine now because now Nobody has a DBA, a doing business as Rich Paul. So,
oh my God, when did that happen?
That happened, I think, about a month ago, right?
Oh my God, that's great.
Instead of changing his name back to Rich Paul, he created a new business that is named Rich Paul.
And I said, I missed that guy.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Of course he did. So he also said the government fears nobody because nobody tells the truth. And we got a lot of that today at the bill hearings that we went to. It sounds like you got it probably a bit worse than we did because we only went to one of them, obviously. But even at the one that we went to, is just a lot of misleading statements from people, especially the expert who, as Carla Garrick pointed out, spoke for 27 minutes. I did happen to catch a glimpse of a friend of the show, Nobody Today, as I was at the bill hearing in Concord.
Good to see him.
And he's not currently allowed to be on the show or anything like that. So Bonnie has been going through old episodes with him and old videos that he did and stuff like that and compiling some of his quotes, especially when he was running for governor, because he is named Nobody. I know him as Rich Paul, and I call him Rich Paul all the time, but that's totally fine now because now Nobody has a DBA and doing business as Rich Paul. So,
oh my God, when did that happen?
That happened, I think, about a month ago, right?
Oh my God, that's great.
Instead of changing his name back to Rich Paul, he created a new business that is named Rich Paul.
And I said, I missed that guy.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Of course he did. So he also said the government fears nobody because nobody tells the truth. And we got a lot of that today at the bill hearings that we went to. It sounds like you got it probably a bit worse than we did because we only went to one of them, obviously. But even at the one that we went to, is just a lot of misleading statements from people, especially the expert who, as Carla Garrick pointed out, spoke for 27 minutes. Being in the military doesn't guarantee any one particular position or another, but all of the former military people I know tell me you can't trust the federal government.
Yeah, I grew up in, you know, military bases and with my parents talking about, like, oh, this is the government's fault that this is, you know, we're not working right and this is slow and, you know, everything sucks because the government, you know, is so bad at doing its job. And, you know, we firsthand got to witness that while some people, you know, their parents just worked in the private sector and they just believed that everything went on fine because, you know, the firefighters were handling all that for them or whatever.
It does seem to be the case that the government is good at doing its job if its job is killing people. But as far
and
as
wasting money like crazy.
Yeah. If you could employ someone to do those two things, waste as much money as possible, kill as many people as possible, government would be the most qualified candidate in human history. If you wanted someone who is qualified at helping people, alleviating poverty, curing disease, or anything else, the government is one of the least qualified people to do that.
The other thing that bothered me about what that guy said was something he said to Arya. He was like, oh, well, the federal government doesn't run my life. You know, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, dude, that was bizarre when he claimed that he wasn't. Because I was leaving at that point. I was done. There was nothing left I had to say, and I knew they were going
to
have
any questions.
He just
wanted to get a little word in edgewise.
Yeah, he goes, I don't know, but I'm not governed by anyone. So I sat back down. I was like, that sounds like a question to me. What do you mean you're not governed by anyone?
There he sits, a U.S. Marine.
Who all of his mannerisms, when I walked into the room, I was like, oh, that guy's a military guy.
I wanted to know, I'm going to move to New Hampshire, and I wanted to know how long I had to reside there in order to attain citizenship of the state so that I may vote in the local elections.
12 now, seconds.
Do you mean, is this a hypothetical question post-New Hampshire independence?
No, it's just to find out, you know, because...
Oh, you just have to have proof that you are in the state of New Hampshire, more or less. You just have to have some sort of physical address that you can say, hey, look, this is where I'm at.
You can register to vote the day you vote.
Yeah. It's super easy.
You can register the same day?
Yep.
Yeah, I've registered as a Republican only like a month after moving here, and it was fine. But I don't think I was voting for anything, so I don't know if that's answering your question now that I think about it.
Yeah, part of it, it's actually a little bit of a matter of contention in the state because there is a strong suspicion that a lot of people come up across the border who are getting paid by the DNC, for instance, and they're registering to vote in New Hampshire, and then they do. And then they go right back on the bus and they go right back across the border. So, yeah, at least for now, you can register to vote the same day of the election.
My problem with MLMs is actually just the fact that usually because of the, like, inefficient, weird way that they're set up, you're not Yeah, I mean, like, the, I like Young American, I mean, not Young American, what are they called? Young Living Essential Oils, but I could get something way cheaper from the store that is the same ingredients that just doesn't have the label on it and somebody selling it to me like, this is the best one. There's lots of hair product MLMs that they're like, this is the only good shampoo. Take a look at this before and after. And, you know, people try it and it's not that great.
Now, Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember correctly, this isn't your first foray into multi-level marketing things. You used to call the show to promote this stuff called Galactose, right? And wasn't that essentially the same thing?
You know, well, the Galactose molecule, the Manatech company, I was taking that and I kind of phased out of it since I've been taking these vitamins. So I stopped taking that, but now I'm taking these vitamins and I feel this is just as much as good. But I never got signed up for that. I just bought bottles from, I just gave them money and I just bought it. But my friend, so with this one, you, all you do is get signed up, people that know you, that enroll you, and you just order about 35 points about what you're going to use for that month.
So basically what they're getting at is that they want to feel out. They're officially feeling out from the public and their institutional people whether or not they should be issuing a central bank digital currency.
Is that the report that they did, or does their report say this is what we need to do?
This is the first time they've come out and they said we want to start hearing from people what their opinions are on the matter.
Does the article have any details about what exactly they intend to do?
No. It was just a very wishy-washy thing, which makes me think that it's already a foregone conclusion. This is more propaganda. It's being planted for something that's already been decided on. As far as I'm concerned, they've probably already got the programming all completed. Now they're just buttering up people slowly, you know, do the predictive programming thing and get people, you know, aligned to the idea mentally so that they can release it on the world. And
well, I know how that goes. I mean, I attended a bill hearing today that honestly we know probably isn't going to actually pass at this time. But the point is to get the idea out there.
Yep.
It's to normalize it to people because the first time they hear an idea, it sounds crazy. But the second time they hear it, it sounds a little bit crazy. And there are studies that show hearing an idea said three times by one person has exactly the same effect on them as hearing three different people mm-hmm. say that idea to them. So it doesn't yep. matter. Mm-hmm. We can be lone voices screaming in the darkness. As long as we're saying it, it's going to affect their brain in the same way as if, you know, they were hearing it from a different person every single time. This is how they're painting it. You know, people are social distancing now and wearing masks again. They must be afraid again. The hopefulness Americans felt last spring after the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines. Oh, you mean when the restrictions went away, when the mandates went away. They were hoping it was, they were first dashed over the summer by the Delta variant, which is deadlier and more contagious than previous strains, but we didn't have to re-implement any of these measures to deal with the Delta variant. They didn't say, oh, no, we have to go back to social distancing. You have to put your mask back on.
Yeah, it just kind of came and went.
It did. But the Omicron variant, which is less deadly by all accounts than the Delta variant, and by the way, it seems to be, it doesn't matter whether you're vaccinated or not. If Omicron is going to infect you, it's going to infect you, which was largely the case with Delta as well. But in May and June of 2021, and as increasing numbers of Americans were vaccinated, more than 4 in 5 U.S. adults believed the coronavirus situation was getting better. Yet, as the Delta variant began to emerge and spread in July, that figure plummeted to 15%. From 80% to 15%. It would have been more helpful if they gave us the actual numbers to make the comparison instead of forcing me to do math in the middle of a radio show.
First, I want to tell you a joke about Kermit the Frog that I probably heard 30 years ago that could be applied today from the way things are going. All right, so it seems things have gone sour on Sesame Street. And Kermit the Frog, he finds himself homeless in New York City. And the only thing he has left to his name of value is a fine porcelain elephant that his, what would you call it? If you're a bastard, what would you call your father? So anyway, he has this frog, or this elephant from his belated, misbegotten father. And he walks into this bank, and he tells the loan officer, he says, because everybody knows who Kermit the Frog is. He says, well, Mick Jagger was my illegitimate father, and this is my last gift, and this is all I have to my name. And he says, I want a loan, and this is my collateral. And the chief loan officer doesn't know how to handle this, so he goes to the president of that bank, and he sits down, and the president of the
bank... Dude, can you stop whispering?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yep.
I had a little fire away in my head, I guess. So the chief loan officer, he goes into the president of the bank and bequeaths Kermit's story to him. And as he's busy signing papers, he just kind of raises one eyebrow. He says, he looks at the frog. He says, it's a knick-knack, you paddywhack. Give the frog a loan.
So two California counties violated the Constitution's right to keep and bear arms when they shut down gun and ammunition stores in 2020 as non-essential businesses during the coronavirus pandemic. Now, that's something we're not going to see again. We're not going to see them shut down non-essential businesses again because those same same employees who were considered essential now are being fired for refusing to get the vaccine.
Don't say you won't see it again. The human race is totally acclimated to seeing it once. They'll do it again.
I don't think they will. I don't think they can. I don't think the economy can survive it again.
People are cows, man.
Maybe not in every part of the world, but maybe in some.
Like, what I saw living here in the United States, there's a lot of docile cows out there walking the streets with masks on and hypodermic needles sticking out of their deltoid.
I don't know, but do you think in New Hampshire we could go back to only... I mean, I don't know. Did you guys ever have only essential workers are allowed to be traveling right now?
Well, in New Hampshire, they made some places shut down because of COVID, and those places bucked and refused to comply with that edict, and then they got fined a whole bunch of money, and then the courts in New Hampshire months later went back and said, oh, yeah, you weren't allowed to do that, so you have to return that money to those businesses now.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.